The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello friends, I'm your host, Chris Thrall. I'm a former Royal Marines Commando. I've adventured, for better and sometimes worse, across 80 countries on all 7 continents. Welcome to the Bought the T-Shirt podcast. Danny, how are you, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you?
Yes.
Good to see you.
I wanted to thank you for coming on the podcast. It was a great success. I think it's opened a lot of people's eyes up. But in our podcast, Danny, we talked more about life in general. Very valuable. Today, I wondered if I could discuss the commando tests, the Royal Marines commando test with you, because it's kind of the crux of Royal Marines training. And I'm sure there's a lot of our young men, also young women.
I think that's these days it's kind of opened up to young women, I think, hasn't it?
Yeah, I try not to sound like David Brent. And of course, young women are welcome.
I think it's awesome, man. I know that's not everyone's opinion, but not a bad effort if you can do
well,
that.
Well, it's changing times, isn't it? And
I hope. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you know, I was on Lent. I broke Lent because of the coronavirus. I'm having a rum and coke, so cheers.
Okay, that's
it's late on in me.
I gather you did quite well. You laid off the booze for a couple of weeks, wasn't it? Or
no, it was a month actually. It was a month. We decided yesterday, like, okay, look. Songkran's been cancelled. Easter's kind of been cancelled. There's a massive crisis going on in the world. I just wanted to sit down, contemplate what was going on, and have a rum. And that's what we did last night. And Lisa just finished work there, and she's just handed me a rum. And it's like, okay, that's beautiful. But I broke the habit of drinking for sure. I think that was the biggest thing for me. And I definitely broke the habit. I didn't have a hangover this morning because I didn't drink too much. But it was nice to have a drink last night and wake up and not hungover. And that was good. I enjoyed that time off the drink. It was really good. It made me very much more productive. I certainly won't go into habitual drinking until I'm drunk every night, which I've been doing for a few years, to be honest.
Yeah. So, Danny, sorry, there's loads I could talk to you about, loads and loads. But I'm conscious we need to talk about commando tests. So what did they mean to you, and at what point in training did they become an issue? And what I mean by that, when you're in induction or foundation, as it's called now, in that first 2 weeks, you're not even freaking thinking about commando tests, are you? You're thinking about doing your ironing. And I didn't even think about what was happening tomorrow. I think I was very much in the moment.
I think that's the great thing about it, isn't it? You don't have a plan for tomorrow. You have a plan for what you have to do right now so that you don't get in trouble tomorrow. Or you get through training. But I don't know, I was 16 when I joined, so I was like 17, fit as a fiddle, you know. But when I joined in induction, I remember, you know, being allocated your bed and all your equipment and then down the stores and getting your boots. I was just so happy, you know, like I had these commando boots, these big fucking leather boots, and they were mine. And and wearing the uniform, and even though the berry wasn't the colour I wanted, but you know, learning how to shape it and walking around, I loved it. I felt proud of this punch, man. I was keen, and I'd learned how to iron. My mum and dad would be giving us that sort of lesson in sewing. I could already sew when I joined the course. So I don't know. My mum's a seamstress, so it was easy.
I looked at all that stuff, Danny. Lying on the counter in the stores, they hand it over to you. They look at your size and they know immediately what you need, right?
Yeah, and I'm looking at your feet size.
Yeah, I'm looking at the denim trousers, these clunky old boots that haven't been worn in. You know, these hairy shirt. And I just thought, well, that's a load of fucking shit, where's my gun? Where's like the exciting stuff that I can go camping with and kill, you know, kill wolves and stuff?
It's so funny, you know, I never really had a fascination for guns, man. It was like guns were, it was new to me, guns. I wasn't part of the cadets or anything like that. I'd never experienced a gun before. So maybe I had a 22 air rifle, I think, when I was a kid, but it wasn't mine. And I end up, actually, the truth is, I end up shooting a guy right in the fucking, right in the head, right there. I didn't realise it was loaded. And his name was Paul Heffernan. He forgave me, but I don't think his mum and dad did. They were pretty pissed off.
So, yeah, going back to what I'm trying, just conscious of wandering off track, because I've got air rifle stories. I shot my brother. Sure, we have a rule in this house. My little boy, he's not allowed to point any weapon at anyone, even if it's a plastic toy. And the reason that is when you become an adult and you use real weapons,
that should be second nature.
Accidents, if you're going to have a weapon, happened, any, don't they? You know,
yeah. It's bloody well doing it. Yeah.
I saw quite a few negligent discharges in the Marines.
Oh, me too. Not in the Marines. I never really came across too many Marines. Out in Iraq for 5 years, I saw a lot of negligent discharges, and thankfully, you know, some of them were in the allocated area with sand barrels and stuff like that, but. I know a couple of Iraqi guys shot one in the leg, one in the femur, and one in the foot. Literally shot himself in the foot because he didn't want to get out and unload his weapon. He did it secretly, like below, you know, and poof, shot himself in the foot. So yeah, weapon safety is the most important thing that you'll ever learn. I didn't know any of that until I joined the Marines. Looking back in hindsight, and going, well, that's a good information. I wish I had that information when I picked up my mates. To pretend to shoot him in the head, aim for it, pull the trigger. Unaware that it was cocked and ready to go, shot him right in the head across his pool table.
So, going back to what we said, when did you first think about the commando test? Was it like when they just like next week?
Well, it comes in a process, doesn't it? I think that's the great thing I think about military, the Royal Marines training. I can't comment on military training because I wasn't part of anyone other than the Marines military training. And I think it's a great system of periodization, right? So what happens is you have a bunch of weirdos all turn up with the one goal to get to the end of this course, and through the period of time they bring you all as one, and then you have the same information, you have the same education, you have the same workout routines, you have the same opportunity to food, so everything's easy, right? In that regard, and all you have to do is perform, and we're like athletes, right? So it's like a training camp for 9 months. But it's not a training camp 9 months. It's training camps. It finishes your 15-week pass out, but that's broken down into, I think, four sections, isn't it? You know, so you've got your induction phase into your twosome phase, and then you've got the next phase to the next phase and the next phase into the next phase. And by the time you get ready for the commando test, your body, your mind, everything should be in peak order to perform that task at the end, much the same as a boxer getting to a 12-round fight. We've got to make sure his 3-month training camp, or if you only get him for 6 weeks, we've got to make sure that his fitness at that level is on that day or on that, you know, couple of days, or certainly it's a week, isn't it, for Marine Commando test, isn't it? Is it over a week period?
Yes.
So you should have peaked. And that's the great thing about the PTIs, you know, the PTIs and the system of training. I'm a PT, right? So I've been in gyms pretty much ever since I've been out of the Marines, other than my 5 years in Iraq. And basically, I look back to the periodization, the planning, the organization, the strengthening of the Royal Marines training back then in 1989, and it was second to none. I know it's got better, but you've learned more as the science of the body and body movement and all that sort of stuff gets more. But
Danny, I'm just going to say you're fading in and out. I don't know if it's because you're moving away from the mic.
It might be, but I've also got a bit of construction going on. I can hear someone banging in the background, so they might be taking a bit of the noise from that.
Yeah, that is good. It's good now.
Is that better? All right, cool. We'll leave it at that. I'll speak to you.
Yeah, so I think what you said is very valid. You build up to everything in Marines training, don't you? So none of it comes as a big shock, but it does come as a challenge.
That's right. It's not easy.
Commando test went something like, don't quote me on this, guys, but it was like It was Thursday. We did the assault, Tarzan assault course. Friday, we did the endurance course. Saturday, we did the 9 mile speed march. Sunday, we had off so we could travel down to Okehampton. And on the Monday, we did the 30 miler across Dartmoor. And I'm pleased to say I passed them all first time.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not pleased to say I did not find them easy at all. In fact, I hadn't actually passed the endurance course. I think we had 4 tries at it, including the pass out. And those 3, or it might have been 2, I failed miserably. In fact, one of them, I just walked back to camp. I was so exhausted.
Yeah, wrapped, huh?
So let's take that from the first one then. So the Tarzan assault course, we were all quite nimble, weren't we? But climbing came easier to some people.
I think you're absolutely right. It's all very, very, and I apologise for the guys in the background. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon here, and they come to work because it's not so hot. But the Tarzan assault course, you know, by the time you get to the end of training, I think it's a month before you finish and get your 2 weeks before you finish. Isn't it like, is it in the last month of training? So you've been training for 8 months, your body's shattered. I was 16 going on, I was 17 at the end. So when I would get onto the you know, the ropes we pull over on both legs, my shin splints were just so, I don't know if they were shin splints, but the pain in my legs at the time was so, so painful that the whole run through it, you know, from jumping off, catching the net, and then going on that run, I was numb. You know, honestly, the pain I was in going through it, I just knew I'd learned by that time to be able to move my legs, breathe, move my body in a way that was kind of unconscious. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. You know, like there's just an element of your energy can go as long as you don't lose focus, I suppose. If you do, just keep breathing, keep pumping, keep moving your legs, keep that energy going, push and drive and breathe. I was only 17, so it was a real hard effort. And I found every bit of it as challenging in the end, climbing that rope. I didn't think for 1 second I'd get to it, but I knew I would get to it, but it was almost an impossible feat at the end.
We had one guy bottle it, I suppose is the word, on the death slide, which is quite funny because I've probably got more of a fear of heights now I'm old and broken, than I ever did when I was young. I didn't have a fear of heights when I was young. I think it's something to do with all the drugs I've taken over the years. But,
maybe it is. Or we just become wiser. We've fallen over too many times. We've hit the ground too many times. We've had consequences, which has given us this life experience to go, hold on a minute. Do that for that. For what reason? The risk doesn't mean, nah, I'm not going to do that. For me, to keep my body able to hold the pads for the guys and spar with the pads for the guys, I've got to look after my body and my mind much the same as their athletes, you know. So I like to be able to do 10 rounds with these guys, bringing them on, especially the guys who've not fought before, like do 10, 15 rounds on a Saturday, right? So it's nice to be fit. But
so did you have anyone bottle it on the death slide?
I can't remember, mate. I can't remember anyone bottling it. I can't.
Okay.
To be honest with you, until you said, let's talk about the commando course. It was, again, it's been years and years and years since I put my mind into the thoughts. And you said that half an hour ago, here we are. And I'm like, I don't think and remember these things as well. I missed the last reunion the lads had recently, which was a 30-year reunion since we passed out. So we're talking literally just 30-odd years.
Yeah.
30 years ago.
We had ours. We all went to Limpston, and some of the lads were lucky. They got to climb the ropes. But when I went to climb them, one of our lads is still a major, right? So we joined as recruits. 2 of our boys are now majors and still serving, which I find
fascinating, isn't it?
Believable. I mean, big respect to them, but I kind of can't help thinking, oh my God, guys, there's so much life, you know?
Yeah, but you know what, man? That was a decision we all had to make, right? So when you look at the career and the core that these guys have done, you know, and they've raised their families well, being in the core, the core's their stability, they've got their pension, they've got all these different things that their life experience meant that they needed that order and to do so. And it's that, it's those guys we fall back on when we need them. You know, if it wasn't for those lifelong dedicated people who were able to do that, then we wouldn't have a foundation to go from. So yeah, you're right, credit to them. And yeah, also credit to the police force and the fire brigade and the nurses and the doctors who put their careers into the same thing, so that, you know, when we get a chance to see them once every 20 years, the knowledge of their careers is what helps us get through it, you know. So yeah, credit to them. But it wasn't for me, man, and it clearly wasn't for you, but because of them and the ones like them who were in our generation gave us what we have, and still here we are 30 years later still talking about that experience we have.
Yeah, you can get a good life out of the forces if it's your thing, and also you can really make it work for you in terms of all you've got to do is get an adventure sport that you love, and the Marines will just let you go and do it whenever, you know, pretty much full time. So
yeah,
I found the Tarzan Assault. So you start off on the death slide, you do the high ropes course, which goes through a forest, and then you come off the high ropes Tarzan course and you run, go to the start of the assault course, run the assault course, do a half regain on the ropes, come back through the tunnels, and then the last thing is you climb this 30 foot wall. And I didn't have any problem with it. The half regain was easy, but I found it ball bagging really.
I would say that was the hardest one for me, man.
You blow, don't you? You're not physically drained. You're just blowing really hard.
Every muscle that you've been using, all your cardio systems shattered, you know, like from the minute you start. You know, as soon as you start, your adrenaline's pumping. By the time you get to that run down at the bottom field there and then make your way back up, you know, you spent 15 weeks on the bottom field getting used to this stuff. It should be easy. And it was easy, you know, like in comparison to what you'd started out like. But by the time you get to the end and you start on this, you know, like that 30-foot wall at the end, man, that's a dangerous thing to do, you know, because as you're going up and you're shaking and you're pulling up, you're still going to fall 30 feet if you let go. There's no water at the bottom of that, you know. So yeah,
I loved it. I've got a photo of one of our lads, Fraser, I think his name was. He's climbing that wall, passing his commando test, getting his green berry. He's got pneumonia, and none of us realised it.
Wow.
He had to do the pass out parade in his wheelchair.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, what does that say about the character of that guy?
Yeah.
That's like coronavirus 19, man. It's like you've got coronavirus and you keep going. That's brilliant.
Yes. So that was that. For our young friends listening, in case you're wondering, the thing that people found the hardest where some people really struggled to get over the 6-foot wall, and it was nothing to do with height, because I was I was probably the smallest guy in my troop and I'd get over it easy. It was that a lot of people lacked upper body strength, or they seemed to. They'd struggle with the ropes, but I don't want to talk about the ropes. That's a different part of training. And they struggled with the half regain, but not as much as the full regain. So the half regain is you're lying on the rope, you fall under it, and then you just get your leg back over and swing back on. Whereas the full regain, you're actually hanging down like this, and then you've got to get up, get your leg over the rope, and climb back on a rope. It seems impossible, but again,
momentum works in your favor. Yeah.
Yeah, I won't go too much down there because that's more part of your battle fitness tests. Pass out, which is your middle phase of training. So let's talk about my nemesis, the endurance course. I'll just give you my little take on it. I ran it just like everything in training. I assumed I was going to pass it, Denny, because I passed everything.
Yeah, me too.
You know,
yeah, I just passed everything.
I've not been Big Eddie.
The physical stuff I knew was easy.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be Big Eddie. It's just it didn't occur to me I might fail something so long as I just did what the next guy did. And then when we did the endurance course, my theory floundered because right from the start, they pair you up in threes. We did it in February, so we had to break the ice on the Peter's Pool just to wade through it, right? And you're wading through up to there. It's obviously a lot deeper because it's raining more in the winter. And you have to stay together in your three until you get to the Smarty. Is it the Sheep Dip or the Smarty Tube?
I'm not sure what they call them these days. They've just done them out as well. They look good. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think it was the Sheep Dip where they push you through these underwater culverts, so underwater tunnels.
How did you find that, Chris?
I had no fear. I don't have fear, Danny. So
Obviously, the endurance course, you start off wet because of that, isn't it? You know, that's the first thing you do, right, is put your fully immerse your body in freezing cold water. Now, you hold on a minute. You said you did it in the freezing, but that would have meant you started doing it in the sunny, no?
No.
The way the system, you were doing the whole thing in winter?
I'm just going to finish my point there because I did sound a bit of a dickhead. What I didn't mean like I'm special and I've got no fear because I'm tough. What I mean is, I don't go there. I don't think about the fear. I don't let it enter my head. I look at that tunnel. It's underwater. It's 0 degrees out. It's 1 degree, so it's just above freezing. The lads shoving me in. I'm not thinking anything. My mind is blank, Danny, other than get in there.
And that's a good thing, Chris. And that's what the Marines are looking for. That's what the Corps is looking for. People that can take the information and do what has been told because it's been proven it works, right? So don't ask questions, just get it done. So when you get to that water, you've got to trust that your mate's going to throw you up further enough so that the guy can reach you and he's going to pull you out, right? Once you know that system in there for guys like us, because we all became commandos, you know, that should be no problem. But I was watching something on YouTube a couple of years ago, and there was lots of civilians doing it, and some people just can't get their head around getting their head under the water and going into a tube with the potential of not coming out the other side, which even when the potential is taken away by a bunch of Marines saying, we do this for a living. So, yeah, some people have that fear, but I suppose in training, these sort of guys are whittled out because you can't have that fear of being in closed up areas like that, you know, if you're going to be living and working on a commando basis. Good mental training, you know, like to go through those tunnels. It was sore, wasn't it, in the old days? I think they've done them out nice now. And but, you know, it'd be sore on your knees. It was horrible. The water would be high. And you could feel the panic inside yourself, but you still got on with it. That's, I suppose, what you're saying, right? Fear doesn't let you stop you doing things. Fear makes you drive forward more. I hope that's what most Marines are all about, you know. There's fear. Let's what? Why? You know, let's find out more about it. Don't you think?
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, I'm also a bit like, I just wouldn't show fear anyway, even if I had it, Danny. You know, I'm the same when I was skydiving. It's like, I'll make sure I'm the first person out. So I'm set the example to everyone else. This is how you do it. So when I did my parachute course in the Marines, and I'm doing that with the paras, right? So what we call, no disrespect, but they're referred to as baby paras. They've got their berries, but they haven't done the jumps course yet. If I'm in a balloon with four paras, I'm the first one out because I'm a Royal Marine. That's just how it is, right? Probably a para doing a podcast now saying exactly the same thing. I'm sure
there's a counter debate to this for sure.
But I'm like, I'm not showing fear. So when I was in that balloon, I just turned around and went, he said, number one to the door. And I stood in the door. He said, arms crossed your reserve. Go. And I went, I'll see you guys on the ground. Geronimo! I broke all the rules. You're not allowed to say anything other than 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, but just to show that I wasn't scared, even though, you know, you were obviously a bit scared. I mean, I'm not...
Well, that would be an argument with a psychologist to say, well, it was because you were scared that you made that funny goof.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, of course. quite possibly. But no, it was just me, just me showing off.
Really. Showing off, of course. So, I think I've not shown up for years.
You stay in your three until the sheep dip because you need three of you. As soon as we got through that obstacle, my two guys were off. And I knew immediately I just was not as strong as them, Denny. You know, or I was in the wrong mental place because when we did our first run through, as soon as they ran off, I just started walking. I just thought, I can't do this. I can't. I just thought maybe the Marines is not for me then. You know, maybe.
Yeah, that was your breaking point. Maybe that was the one that challenged you most. Huh?
Well, I don't want to say breaking point because obviously this is just the dry run through. But yes, it was my nemesis. It was the point in training that, you know, everyone is going to find one part of training hard, aren't they? Some people find several, but everyone finds at least, you know.
You can't tell me there's someone out there in the Royal Marines who went through training who didn't find the majority of it hard. It wasn't easy. There's some points through training you're thinking to yourself, what the fuck would I want to be around people who think like this for? These guys are lunatics. But, you know, they're cool lunatics, you know, and you can tell that when you're meeting someone, you look in their eyes and you can hear them talking to you. There's something about it. You're looking at a person who has a knowledge that you're intrigued with. And if they can deliver it well, which most instructors that I have known can deliver it well, you become, it's like a dreamlike state, you know? You've just given up to it and going, what is it I need to know? Because this could save my life. So, yeah, I can understand. I can understand why people would say I'm not doing it and I've had enough. Definitely, because why would you want to be in a position where you were the one who, I've got nothing, you're in a fucking tunnel, the enemy's looking for you, and you better shut up. Who would want to be that person? Not many people, man. You know what I mean? And that's the reality of what commando training is, isn't it? It's to teach your mind to be okay in isolation as well.
I'm just going to fast forward because I'm conscious of the time here. For me, when we did the actual commando test, the actual endurance course, I still hadn't passed it. I still did exactly the same thing. I was slow on the course through the tunnel. I mean, through the tunnels, I was the same as everyone else probably, but it was the running.
So what was holding you back, Chris?
Running, being soaking wet. You know, all your kit makes you weigh, you feel like you weigh double, don't you?
Is that why you do now what you do? Is this what it all comes from that, fuck, I got to get good at this thing that I'm not very good at. I run long distances wet and cold with weight on my back.
Oh, it's probably definitely a factor, yeah. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I can hear it. I can hear it as you're telling me the story.
It might be a factor. Yeah, I mean, it's all, everything's in the cake, isn't it, you know? I came off the course. And I looked at my watch. I was the slowest I had been. I was just the slowest I had ever been. And a guy flew past me, and he was the slowest guy in the troop, generally. He was also a guy that... He was a bit of a knob. I don't like talking badly about people, but he just was a bit of a knob. And the
Let's
fact
just say he was a knob at that time of his life.
At that time of his life, it wasn't his fault. I guess we're all knobs to some people, right? You know?
Yeah, we are.
I guess we are. It was just at the time he came across a bit kind of snooty. Yeah. Anyway, that's irrelevant. He flew past me and he went, come on, Frawl. And it was just the fact that I had the slowest guy in the troop G-ing me up. It woke me up, Danny. And I looked at my watch.
Makes a big difference, doesn't it?
I had to run to get back to camp in all that kit, 8-minute miles, right? That is going some. Most people can't run 8-minute miles in PE kit. when I go running now, I run between 10 and 12 minute miles. I just like to go out and enjoy myself, right?
Yeah,
I had to do 8 minute miles back to camp, and all I did was start putting one foot in front of the other, and in my head I was not going to stop, and I built into a rhythm, and that just fired me on.
Yeah, man, that's what I was saying before, right? That's one of the secret intelligences that you're learning in that personal moment that you've got it. And you learn that, you know, you were 18 when you did training, was that right? And I was like 16, 17 or something like that, right? So we learned at a really early age that this ability for the human body and human mind to merge together and still be able to do it. Like you're saying, you know, I learned that out running once, you know, running for a marathon, training for a marathon and running, and then just all of a sudden, it just clicked, you know, the breathing, the weight on the leg, the stride, you know. I was there for a long time, you know, and then I didn't run for many years. You know, I can't run now because of my Achilles tendons, but I can remember, you know, that moment where it took about nearly a year of learning how to run properly and stride properly and breathe into it and then sprint and come back and sprint and come back and do all these different things. And once I really realized that happened, it was like, fuck, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I learned in the Royal Marines, and that's what keeps me going in day-to-day life, mate. You know, just sometimes my body, even boxing training or wherever life's gone too much, it's just like, don't worry. Sometimes your body and your mind will just take over and you don't have to stress too much. And I think that's a really, really great lesson that I learned very young in life, being a Marine, going through these things, was there's something in you that's more than what you think. It's bigger and stronger. And it's your willpower, your the thing that made you all of a sudden do 8 minute miles, get back to camp, shut those rounds off, and get that ticket so you could carry on with the journey you were on. That's inspiration. That's not.
Did you pass that test the first time you did it?
Yeah, man. Now I don't have any troubles with the physical aspect of training. Commando test for me. I was young. I was a boxer. I was really excited to do them all. I was in pain like everyone else, but it wasn't. Is it the 9 miler? Speed match, the 6 mile speed match. What's the one in the commando test? Is it
nine miles.
9 miler. And about 2 miles into that, the guy behind me lost step and pulled off the heel of my boot. So I had the heel of my boot for the next 7 miles clicking. So I wasn't very happy when I finished the 9 miler. But that was probably the only thing that happened.
I have got a wicked Achilles tendon and boot story. You are just going to love this, right? No, seriously, we wore the same boots through most of the way in training, right?
Yeah.
And by what nobody's telling you is by sort of the 6 or 7 month phase, they've dried out so much, they lose all their elasticity. And you're polishing them up with dubbing and boot polish, and it makes them a bit supple. But still, it's lost a lot of the elasticity. And in the back of my boot, it was pushing into my Achilles, and it gave me Achilles tendonitis. So I had I had this big fat break in my Achilles, swell, right? All it was the boot. So for my commando tests, so I got a new pair of boots, which kind of helped for my final X. But for the commando test, I just cut the heels out of my boots. So I had like sandal boots, right? I just cut like the little bit that was poking into my Achilles. I cut those bits out. So I had big holes in the back of my boots. But that was actually probably good because the water would then come straight out, right?
I've no idea, man, if that works.
Did you, do you remember the chute? When you do the endurance course, you run back to camp, don't you?
And yeah, I mean, you know, the endurance course for me was Chris, and there's a guy called Chris. It'll come back to me in a minute. He was inspiring me. He's my training team. He was inspiring me. He was encouraging me to get the record. I was going for the record for the endurance course. I was at the other end of the scale. I was pushing and striding, thinking that I could pull off the record and go for the commando medal. That was my drive. I mean, he was in my ear every time he saw me going, come on, you've got this. And and I almost got it. So by the time I got to the shoot, I was quite happy to just fire it off and see where the scores were. I was like, did I do it? I didn't do it. You know, I just missed it by a little bit. So I think our experience there, you know, like you're finding it really hard. It was one of those things that I, at 17, I just, that was it for me. That this is what being a commando was all about, being the endurance course. So
when I got to the rifle range, and so you fire from, it's not a lot, it's something like you fire from about 20 or 30 meters, and you've got to get 6 of 10 shots on the target. Having quickly cleaned your weapon, they let you pull it through. So you pull the barrel through with a string and a bit of cloth. You're allowed to put a little bit of oil on, and that is it. You're not allowed to take your weapon apart and clean it. The idea is you should have kept it clean on the course. That's just a joke, because you're going through those tunnels. You're just throwing the fucking thing in front of you just to get...
Absolutely. Especially if there's water in those tunnels and you've got, you know, dirty water going up your nose. You can try and keep it out, but, you know, it doesn't always happen like that. You know,
I was so committed on...
Tell stories about dirty muzzles.
I was so committed. I cannot fail this now, right? I cannot... I've got in the time. I can't fail. So when I picked up a target, I just picked up one that hadn't been pasted over. So for those...
It already had shots.
Yeah. So it already had 10 holes in it, right? And I just went and stuck that down. You're not stupid. In the military, you've got to make things... If you can make things work, you make it, you know...
That's it. You got to adapt and overcome. That was genius.
But the trouble is, then I had a problem, Denny, because we, after the shoot, we had to go and show the target to the corporal. And the guy in front of me stepped up to the corporal, showed him his target, and the corporal went, "Recruit so-and-so. You've got 16 fucking holes on your target. You fucking cheat," right? So what he'd done is he'd peeled off some of the patches before he did the shoot. So he ended up with 16 holes when you only get 10 rounds. He went, "Right, you're fucking back troops," right? So he's back troop for cheating.
Oh, but, my goodness.
But I need to add something here. They didn't like him, Denny. And you know what?
That's
you
the
know,
easy way to get him out at the end.
If they, it wasn't that they didn't like him. It's that they didn't think this guy had what you need to have to be a Royal Marine, and they didn't want him in the Royal Marines. And that is fine, because as we all know, there's a certain parameters that you need to fit into.
That's another long, long story. You know, who deserves to do this and who deserves to do that. But at the end of the day, same as SBS and SAS, the selection process isn't necessarily on how good a soldier you are. It's how will you deal with the situation that you're going to face with those guys.
Yeah,
that's it. It's a character. It's a character you might have got in if you were 5 years before because of who will be on the DS team or something like that. But that's just the process, man. Some people win, some people lose, man. That's the life or death of being at war and being
here's
one of
the
us,
thing.
You know?
Here's the thing, though, Denny. Right. So I'm in the queue behind him. He's just got back troop for having 16 holes in his target. I've got 20 holes in my fucking thing, right? And I'll never forget, it was this really nice corporal called Corporal Ferguson, and he liked me. He liked everyone. He was a really nice Irishman.
I'm sure everyone was right behind you trying to get the run in as well.
Yeah, and I stepped up, and I just held my target up, and he looked at it, and he went, and I saw his eyes click, that I obviously had more than 10 holes in it, and he just went, "Well done, Frawl." You know, they're not stupid. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, so, man, you know, like you learn, you know, you're only in training for a short time, isn't it? It's like bringing up kids. You only have kids for a short period of time, then they're adults. You know, it's the same as us being in Marine training. It was 30 years ago, and then you march on with your career, and you watch how the guys treat the recruits and the training programs and that. It's hilarious, man. It's hilarious. I didn't get a chance to do that job, but it looked fun, for sure.
So, how was your nine miler doing it with one boot broken?
Well, I think that was probably the only sort of commando challenge that I found a challenge, because it was strenuous on my leg, and I think I was more frustrated with the guy who was behind me who'd done it, you know, because it was after like 3 or 4 clicks of him being out of step on such a day, you know, it's your commando test, you know, you expect everyone to sort of be at the same place as you are. So I think by him clipping my heel a couple of times, I spent the whole thing cursing him, and I can't really remember too much about it, you know, just like, fucking, fucking, fucking. I think we had a wee altercation at the end of it, but again, we both passed the commando test. It wasn't a fight, it was just... I was 17.
Do you remember we stopped in the middle and they had all our drinks, they had all drinks bottles. You could have a quick drink of water and you put the bottle down and you carried on again.
I can't really remember that, to be honest with you.
I got more brain cells than
did
you
they?
Left.
Did they? Is that for sure? I don't know, man. As I said, I was 17. You know, I was really just trying my best.
I was only 18. I was 19 by this stage.
Yeah, well, I was 17 at the stage. I joined at 16, so I was just managing. I was just happy to be managing everything with the big boys, you know, and get through the physical aspect of it. I certainly felt weaker, but you know, I joined, and I know this because of boxing. I joined at 56 kilos. I don't think you can even join at that height weight anymore. I joined at 56 kilos, and by the time I went through, I was 56, and then by the time I'd passed out of training. And I had a chance to box for the trip in the co-championships. I was 67 and a half kilos. So I put like 10 kilos on in the space of 9 months. So as a young athlete, I was getting stronger and stronger and stronger. So I think, like I said before, the periodization of that regime of physical fitness was ideal for my body type. Do you know what I mean? Because it was just thriving on the food, it was thriving on the exercise. My mind was thriving on the excitement of doing it and getting through it. I didn't really feel honestly under pressure. I mean, going back onto the 30 mile or two, listen, and I got to sort of round it down a little bit as well, because I've got to go down to the doctors here in the island and get checked out for this virus, make sure my temperature's not gone up and all that sort of stuff. I've got to do that once a day.
Let's finish on the 30 miler then. How was your experience?
I loved it, mate. I loved it. It was like I felt like I was going through the whole experience with little hairs on my back. It was such a great experience for me. We passed out on the 13th of October. So go back a month. It's September. You know, it's late summer. It was just beautiful, man. That was probably my best commando experience. I felt strong and powerful. I think everyone. I don't think anyone failed that in our trip. It was a pretty high success rate, and everyone kind of got good times as well. It was, I enjoyed it. What about you, mate?
I found that again, all the speed, the marching stuff. I just found really hard, Denny. I'm 5'7" and a half.
Yeah, it's a lot of weight.
You know, and I'm carrying the same weight as guys almost twice my size, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And
usually you need to be bulky for that, right? Gets loads of muscle on. What do you know what your weight was when you joined the corps?
I was about 9.5 stone. That's so really 50, light.
About the same as me, mate. Yeah, that's about 56 kilos, something like that.
Yeah. And I don't think I put a lot of muscle on in training because I'm always quite lean and fat free anyway, right? I still am. I've still got the body now that I had when I was, well, you know, got maybe another inch around my stomach. But when you do the triathlon, that really keeps you trim, you know? It really gives you the body back that you had when you were a teenager. Quite bizarre, really. But yeah, I was frustrated on the 30 miler that just yet again, it just felt like this shit's not for me. It you know, and at one point, me and this other lad just stopped and started walking. But it was only because we were so near the end that we didn't drop back that far enough to fail it. So it was kind of, we came over the last mountain that you cross. Is all these false peaks. So when you think you're at the top, you got to go on again. When you think you're at the top and you are fucking ball bad by this part of training.
Yeah, it's hard work for sure.
You just want it to be over. Your body is drained of nutrients, of vitamins, of energy, of fat, of everything. You just want to get to the end. And of course, you've got to keep going up and up. And on about the second to last one, me and this guy, we just looked at each other and went, fuck it, let's just walk, you know, let's just walk at our own pace for a bit. And we did. But when I got over the hill, it was like you could just run down a hill to catch up with the other guys. So it was something like that. And then, of course, we were half a mile from the end, and then you're not going to give up then, right? And you come over that bridge at the end, and all the others that have finished are there clapping you across the bridge. And you know at that point, you're a Royal Marines Commando. There's nothing. You've done it now. There's nothing more to do. You know,
in life, there's some anticlimaxes. I have to say, that's not an anticlimax. You know, when you get to the end of that long journey and you're handed your green beret, which you've shaped previously, you know, and it's all there for you. I think that's one of the grandest moments of my life. I enjoyed that moment more than my pass out parade or anything else that came after it, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Denny, I'm going to let you go. I just want to say a few things. First off, lots of love to you and your family. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lots of love to everybody watching. If you've got questions, friends, put them below and Denny and I will endeavour to answer them. Or if you've got ideas for other podcasts you'd like us to talk about. Denny, I will send you the details about tonight.
Great. Yeah, I'll see you then.
To have you on the Commando to Commando live chat. And
awesome.
I'll shut up. Ciao.
All right, I've got to go. Hey, listen, if anyone out there has coronavirus or something like that, get well. We're all thinking about you and praying for you. I have to go and get checked now because I'm on a 14-day sort of observation. So that's why I've got to quickly go now. My wife's down there.
Good luck. Let me know how that goes.
It'll be all good, man. But good luck. Thanks very much, Chris. It's always a pleasure, brother. And speak to you soon, man.
Cheers, brother. Take care.
Cheers, mate. Cheers.
Friends, thank you for listening to the Bought the T-Shirt podcast. Please like, subscribe and share. And don't forget to follow me on social media. Username, Chris Thrall. Instagram, Chris.Thrall. Thank you.